Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Last week, Governor Strickland brokered a deal between the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and the Humane Society of the United States, which was hours away from submitting the needed signatures to get an issue on the November ballot aimed at curbing many factory farm practices in Ohio. The agreement surprised many around the state and shocked a few whose livelihoods could be seriously affected by the proposed changes in Ohio law. Joining us first for the broad brushstroke is Dispatch reporter Alan Johnson. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Thank you, Ann.
And before we get started with that, I want to say that the new agreement prevents new chicken farms from using battery cages, but existing farms using them now will be allowed to do so. So they're grandfathered in other words. The deal also phases out the use of gestational crates for pigs over a number of years. I think it's about 15 years. But that's not all. Let's hear what else the agreement does from Ohio Public Radio's Joe Engels.
It would require the legislature to pass an existing bill that cracks down on puppy mills. It would bring about a crackdown on importing exotic animals into Ohio. It would require the elimination of cockfighting. And it would deal with animal euthanasia in a way that the Humane Society finds acceptable. It would also prevent the transport and mistreatment of downed cows.
Now, that sounds like an awful tall order, Alan. That sounds like more than the legislature has accomplished in the entire 2 year.
Or 20 years.
20 years. It sounds like more than they've accomplished since I've ever been covering them, which is about 20 years. So is it a tall order, though? Can he pull this off?
I don't think he can, frankly, with all due respect, Governor. I think that it's overcommitted. I think there are so many things here. Some of them require legislative approval. Some of them require approval by the Farm Board. And some can be done by executive order, which he can handle on his own. But Bill Harris, the Senate president, was saying yesterday, hey, wait a minute, Governor, you didn't talk to us about puppy mills. And so maybe that's the first little chink in the wall that, you know, he depended on a lot of other parties to be involved and to approve things, and I'm not sure they'll all go along.
Well, I wonder what he was thinking. Of course, the sponsors of the puppy mill bill in the Senate are Republicans, mm-hmm. but that bill's been sitting around in one form or another for a long, long time.
Right. Well, there's one reason that the puppy mills and the cockfighting and the wild and exotic animals were thrown in there. One only reason, and that is to appease the Humane Society, because the Humane Society was holding all the cards. They had the signatures. They could have filed. So to get them to negotiate and come to the table, he had to agree to some some sweeteners, I guess you would call them, and that's what those three things are. But they're tough sells.
Why would the governor get involved? What's in it for him?
Well, I think he really did want to avoid a ballot issue, and it would be a real ugly fight. Farm Bureau and the Humane Society would have probably spent $10 million each. Now, there are those who might say it was a political issue because the governor might not want a ballot issue when he's on the ballot that would bring out Republicans. And it probably would bring out the big farm vote, and it would bring out Republicans who would mainly be farm vote. And I think he was consequently kind of glad for that to not have it on the issue at the same time he is.
But wouldn't it likewise bring out a lot of Democrats?
It would. It would. I mean, it's really hard to predict. We asked him. We had a little podcast of our own, and we asked him that. And he said, well, it might help a little, but it's really not that consequential. So I don't really know.
Was this a surprise to you?
The agreement?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was waiting that day because I knew they were supposed to file, and I said, all right, one of you folks are going to call me when you're filing, right? 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 And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's mid-afternoon. And then I thought, something's going on here because they could have filed and would have filed, and they didn't.
Because they could have had a big fancy press conference and
exactly.
All that kind of stuff.
And then at 3:30-ish, the governor's office popped out a press release saying we're going to have a press conference at the governor's office on the ballot issue. And so, I mean, I immediately knew you don't have a press conference to announce that the ballot issue is going forward, which means it had been stopped. And it was a matter of getting it confirmed, which fortunately I was able to do.
614-292-8513. If you'd like to join the conversation with Alan Johnson, the Dispatch State House reporter, he's written about the governor's brokered deal between the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and the Humane Society of the United States. to deal with some issues regarding livestock, farm livestock, and also puppy mills and cockfighting and exotic animals. And it's just you know, kind of everything but the kitchen sink in this thing. What can the governor do definitely himself without having to participate with the legislature or the
Farm Board? He can do the exotic animals order, which has some thorny issues related to it, because it basically says you can't own or sell like bears and large cats and alligators and crocodiles and constrictor snakes. And there are folks who have those. Now, they would be grandfathered in, but that means the guy who owns the reptile store, which is whose name I'm forgetting at the moment, captive-born reptiles. He wouldn't be able to sell his stuff. And he thinks it'll put him out of business. And I found an auction up in, I think it's Mount Hope, and they have a huge auction. They sell zebras and they sell camels and they sell.
Oh, no.
I know. And not just one or two of them, dozens of these animals. So they're wondering what happens to them. And for all the people that have an alligator or crocodile, I mean, I'm sure there aren't a lot of them, but I happen to know one of our staff members said, well, we have a crocodile that we have in the basement and and it's in the outside in the pen in the summertime. Do we get to keep it? Well, the answer is yes, but if you wouldn't be able to sell it, or you wouldn't be able to replace it.
Or breed it,
exactly.
Now,
that's the one thing he can do.
Does this bring Ohio, in terms of the exotic animal laws, does it bring Ohio in law with most other states, or do most other states allow people to own and buy and sell exotic animals like that?
I don't know the answer to that one. I don't know whether they do or not. I mean, I know the Humane Society was pushing it, and if they pushed it here, I assume it's law in other states, but I can't speak to that for sure.
614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, or go to All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and post your comment or question there. What falls under the auspices of the Standards Board, the Livestock Care Standards Board that was created that voters approved last November on the ballot, the statewide ballot?
Well, there's a lot of things actually. The not allowing downer animals, that's sick and injured animals, to get into the food stream, that's one of the items that they would deal with, and in fact, we're already preparing to deal with. They could also deal with the cage confinement restrictions. Although, as we said, for chickens, there's not a restriction except for new ones, which we can talk about a little bit later. And it's the same thing for pigs and veal calves. And the board could do all of those things. And but some of them they're ready to do. But the confinement standards have always been a tough problem for them, because that's where farmers really squeal. They don't like that.
One reason the Farm Bureau Federation embraced this is because these big changes take place over the course of many, many years. They have a new chicken operation, for instance, couldn't open up with these kind of cages
after the end of this year.
But that's assuming that the Livestock Care Standards Board approves it, right?
Right.
I mean, that's assuming a lot, isn't it? The governor doesn't speak for the Livestock Care Standards Board, does he?
No, but I mean, the Livestock Care Standards Board is under the Department of Agriculture, which is a cabinet agency. It's kind of like, the Board of Regents or some of those others that have appointees that the governor doesn't necessarily control but has a lot of influence over.
Okay. Now, can he make promises, though, about getting legislation passed? Let's go back to that puppy mill bill. Why has that bill stagnated for so long? Because I know Ohio is just one of four or five states, or just a handful of states, that allows such things anymore.
And I'm not really sure about that. I haven't covered that piece of legislation. But your point is right on, that he has promised something that he cannot personally deliver on. He can lobby. He can talk to the staff. He can talk to Senator Harris and the other legislators, but he can't do it himself. That's legislation. That is not the executive province.
It seems to me that the Humane Society of the United States would know that.
They would know that. And I'm sure that of these 8 or 10 things that were on the list that were in the agreement, which, by the way, still hasn't been confirmed to formal writing as far as I know. There was a list that came out that was kind of the little highlights. But this is something that the ink hasn't even dried on, because the ink hasn't been written on in some ways. And I'm sure they knew that, but I'm sure they were thinking, excuse me, we can go and we can fight this extremely contentious battle, spend $10 million, or we can roll the dice a little bit and get some of the things we want and hope for the other things, and we'll still have the signatures on the petition in case we want to come back.
You've written about an egg farm deal in Union County that is underway. The permitting process is underway, and in Ohio, the permitting process for these things is very lengthy, and mm-hmm. would be the biggest chicken farm in the state, right?
Right.
They're trying to get opened up before December 31st.
Right. And they would want to do that because they know that if they don't do it before the end of the year, they can't do it at the beginning of next year. I mean, they're done at the end of this year for a new farm. So they need to get it done by December 31st.
But that's assuming, again, I keep going back, that the Livestock Care Standards Board passes that rule, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And what has the Livestock Care Standards Board done so far? Have they passed much of anything?
They haven't done – now, I'm not sure about this. Last week, they were supposed to actually meet on the day that this agreement was worked out, and they were supposed to do the thing on the downer cows and humane euthanasia, and I don't know if they did them or not. But they have just been gearing up. This board has only been in existence for a couple months. So they haven't, to my knowledge – I'm willing to be corrected on this, but I don't think they've passed anything yet. But they would have to do this. You're right.
Now, just before we take a break, I wanted to – the governor – this is not unprecedented. The governor has made promises like this before to broker compromise between different parties. And you mentioned the sick leave issue in Ohio.
Right.
Remind us about that.
I don't remember the year. It was 2 or 3 years ago. The Service Employees International Union mounted a big campaign to have mandatory sick leave for all Ohioans who were full-time and even part-time employed. I forget if it was 5 or 7 days, mandatory sick leave, because a lot of people in Ohio don't have any sick leave. This was obviously a very contentious issue. Businesses fought it, but the union had the signatures, again, very much like this. The governor intervened. He did not want to see this issue on the ballot. It was going to be extremely contentious. And he said, union, please drop this, and I will be on your side in fighting for sick leave law at the federal level. Well, I guess I would have to ask the union, how's that working out for you? Maybe I've missed something, but I'm not seeing anything at the federal level.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we return, we'll be joining the Executive Vice President of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and also the President and CEO of the U.S. Humane Society of the United States. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820.
In commercial radio, in-depth means a minute 30. On much of public radio, you can hear stories stretched to 6 or 7 minutes. On Talk of the Nation, we're not talking in-depth until we've hit the half-hour mark. I'm Neil Conan. Take your time with the discussion on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And on Talk of the Nation this afternoon, it's Wednesday, so the political junkie is stopping by. He's going to discuss the Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele, also Jim Traficant right here from Ohio and his signature shortage. That's on the political junkie segment of Talk of the Nation at 2 o'clock, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Currently 84 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:20 this morning. Sunny skies today and very warm, a high right around 94. Clear skies tonight and a low of 68, and the hazy, hot, and humid temperatures continue tomorrow, sunshine and a high of 95. All Sides continues on WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the governor's brokered deal between the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and the Humane Society of the United States, which is hours away from submitting the needed signatures to get an issue on the November ballot aimed at curbing many factory farm practices in Ohio. The agreement surprised many around the state. I guess we're going to have a couple people on right now who maybe weren't as surprised as the rest of us. First, Jack Fisher. He's the Executive Vice President of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Hi, Ann. Nice to talk to you today.
And joining us in a few minutes, Wayne Pacelli. He's President and Chief Executive of the Humane Society of the United States. It was the primary organization gathering signatures for that proposed November ballot issue. Jack, the reaction from your members has been mixed. Some have suggested that the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation caved in on this issue.
Well, in business terms, as we evaluate the challenges from the animal rights movement, from Wayne Pacelli and HSUS, who are probably the most dominant animal rights organization, we had to do some risk analysis and put down what are the pros and cons of what we're facing here. The most immediate thing to answer was a potential ballot initiative this fall. And whether or not that would be good or bad, certainly we start with the premise Ohio farmers are very much interested in the best animal care, the most humane treatment of their animals. And so to even think about that we're being required to change what we think is already science-based, very humane treatment of animals, that's difficult for us to evaluate all this. But today's world, we have these issues to deal with, and so we went about our business of doing the best analysis possible. And so what am I looking at? Certainly, Ohio agriculture is the foundation of Ohio's economy. One out of the seven jobs, when you look at from inputs to the farm gate all the way to your plate, the food chain system, if you will. Certainly, there's a lot of interest today in local food production. Ohioans would like for as much as food as possible to be produced in Ohio. We want to keep Ohio farmers competitive in a global economy, in the global marketplace. Ohio happens to be one of 24 states who have a ballot initiative opportunity, and so understanding our governance model, we had to deal with that. And then the last big one I was looking at is overall public relations. Farmers grow up with food animals, have a different life experience than most of our customers today, whose life experience generally comes from a companion animal and see things a little bit differently. So how do we manage overall public relations, our bank of goodwill for the industry of agriculture that's been built up for a long, long time? And when we looked at all those things, we thought it made sense to have the dialogue with Wayne and HSUS.
I know that a grand jury in Union County has not found a reason to pursue a prosecution of the Conklin Dairy Farm owner, but the video that came out of that, the video of his worker beating the cow and that kind of a thing, you know, it went viral. It went across the country. Everybody knows about it by now. They're still talking about it. But did that play into it at all? If that hadn't have happened, would you be less willing to compromise on this?
It was one event of several over recent years. And I've been engaged, grew up on a farm, been around livestock, all species my entire life. I did not like that video. It was tough for me to watch.
Yeah.
It was so bad. And so thinking about that, the consideration, the impact, most of our consumers, when they don't know about our industry, don't know about food production, are going to act on their emotions. So not to consider the impact of that video, I think, would not be very smart.
In your press release and elsewhere in different interviews, you said that the agreement validates passage last November of the Issue 2, which established the Ohio Livestock Care Standards Board, as the appropriate venue for defining acceptable farm animal care practices. But the agreement, as I read it, seems more like it's dictating to the board what it must pass and by when.
Absolutely not. The agreement says that we will take recommendations and presentations to the Ohio Livestock Care Standards Board to be used in their due diligence. That will be only one part. There will be research information, food safety recommendations, overall worker safety recommendations. We want the Ohio Livestock Care Standards Board to do their full scope of due diligence before they adopt any standards relative to care of livestock. And in fact, part of this, and we had the discussion, Wayne Pacelli agreed to look at the Livestock Care Standards Board as a governance model that could be used in trying to help us work through these issues from different philosophies. HSUS has a very different definition of the humane treatment of animals than we do in production agriculture. And so we are agreeing to utilize the expertise and work of the Ohio Livestock Care Standards Board to help us set standards for these animals.
So is part of the agreement that the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation won't fight efforts to get these changes to Ohio agricultural farm or livestock standards, to get these passed through the board, that you won't fight that effort? Since the board has to make the ultimate decision, not the federation.
Well, we will participate fully and have encouraged HSUS to do the same. We should utilize the opportunity to present information, share information, have farmers testify, have consumers testify, always present our point of views so the Livestock Care Standards Board has the full gamut of information before they establish livestock care standards.
Alan Johnson?
Jack, this is Alan Johnson. I'm just wondering, could you have won this battle had it gone to the ballot?
We were confident that we could. We were prepared. We had our political consultants in place. We were already working. We were engaged in raising money. We knew it would be during a election year when you have a gubernatorial race, a U.S. Senate race, and all the other election races, it would be a very expensive campaign because media costs and so forth are going to be higher because of the demand. So looking at the overall cost was a factor. But we were geared up to do that. And, in fact, we think relying on our passage of Issue 2 last year and working with that block of voters and going forward, we thought we had a very good opportunity to win at the ballot this fall.
Would have been tough, though.
Absolutely. You are dealing with voters' emotions. And I don't know, I've been through a campaign of any kind where the strategy had to be to overcome people's emotions.
What did the Federation compromise on if this was a brokered kind of agreement? What did you give up that before you wouldn't have?
Well, what we gave up is we think that our practices relative to, and we're primarily talking right now poultry, pork, and veal production, but it you know, in a lot of ways involves all species. But we're very committed to the fact that these practices that we use today have come through research through our land grant system over a long period of time of farmers and those in the business of producing food, of understanding what practices work best. And we look at a whole litany of things, not just the housing of the animal, but worker safety, food safety, animal safety, all those types of things are incorporated into the practices that we've adopted. So we're starting from the premise that we think what we're doing now is very humane treatment of mm-hmm. animals and the best way to raise animals for food production. But today, our customers think about this a little bit differently, see it a little bit differently, and as several issues that we debate over time, we have to listen to our customer, understand where they're coming from, and then try to find the middle ground in terms of relating to that new social conscience of America, as I call it, versus what we're doing today to raise animals for food production.
I want to welcome to the show now Wayne Pacelli. He is the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You have said, well, before I get started, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. Wayne, you have said that your leverage in all of this is that collection of 500,000 signatures that you are ready to put on the ballot or to submit to the ballot board for the November ballot. Does that leverage maintain the same value over time? In other words, there's a lot, you know, the issue two just passed last November. There is that video out there that got a lot of people hot and bothered. And now I'm wondering, a year from November, will you have the same sort of leverage?
Well, and we are really expecting to be able to see all of the issues that are addressed in the agreement between HSUS and the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and the other animal agriculture commodity groups in the state. And we don't think that there'll be any need for the initiative because we all are operating in good faith and we all want to see these outcomes, however difficult it may be to get there. And, you know, Jack mentioned that you know, there are some different perspectives on these issues, and it's been difficult for some farmers to swallow some of these items. But I think in the collective judgment of everybody involved, this moves agriculture forward. It moves ahead humane standards that I believe ultimately are widely embraced by the public, and that all farmers will ultimately come to embrace. And it contains a number of other animal welfare reforms, given that Ohio has been lagging on a number of issues, whether it's cockfighting or puppy mills or keeping dangerous wild animals as pets. And I think collectively it represents forward progress for the state of Ohio, for animal welfare, and for the agricultural community. I've always believed that it is in agriculture's interest to demonstrate an active concern for animals. And for whatever the reasons, the polarity that develops between different interest organizations when political fights result, and not, you know, listening to one another or hearing each other or even agreeing to moderate things, that these are just good outcomes all across the board. And I hope that that an initiative is never needed. We always prefer to work through the established models of public policymaking. And whether that's through the legislature or executive agency action or now the Ohio Livestock Care Standards Board, that's the preferred route for us. That's where we want to go.
Why? What makes you confident that the governor, the legislature, and the Ohio Livestock Care Standards Board can pull all of this off? Already the Senate President, Bill Harris, has said, puppy mill legislation? I don't know about that.
You know, I really do have a lot of confidence, because when you can get a situation where you have powerful groups like the Humane Society of the United States, the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, the Ohio Pork Producers Council, the dairy industry, the poultry industry, to agree that this is the pathway forward, you know, where is the other sentiment out there? I mean, political leaders, I would hope, don't just stand on ceremony. They look at the merits of the ideas, and they also look at where the public is. And on a set of issues where you have the Humane Society and you have the Farm Bureau, where else would you want to go politically? I would only assume that the people who have ascended to high positions in public office in Ohio have done so because they're skillful politicians. And I think the skillful move will be to propel all of these issues forward.
You've told the Los Angeles Times recently that this negotiated agreement, it was the most important animal news in the nation in June and July.
I do believe that. I think as a comprehensive package of 8 different animal welfare reforms, again, all bundled into one package, it's an historic advance for Ohio. It releases the pressure that was building for a contentious and very expensive a public campaign, a costly campaign to the Humane Society of the United States and to many groups within the realm of agriculture. And it gives us a pathway forward. Cockfighting has been a major problem in Ohio, especially southern Ohio. We need felony-level penalties for people who engage in this crime. There are people who keep lions and chimpanzees and bears and anacondas as pets in their home. That's a danger to them, and it's bad for the animals. We need a policy on that. Puppy mills are one of the most reviled industries in terms of the poor animal care that they provide to dogs in these commercial breeding operations, selling animals into the pet trade at the very time that shelters all across Ohio and across the country are struggling to adopt out healthy and treatable animals. And as a nation, we spend $2 billion working to promote adoptions and to provide care for homeless animals. It doesn't make sense to keep churning these animals out in these inhumane conditions. And I think on the agriculture issues, the public knows that confining veal calves in small crates is wrong. We now have a pathway to move away from gestation crates, and we're barring new battery cage operations from coming into the state. Those are the small wire cages in which laying hens are housed. Now, we have a disagreement with several of the leaders in the agriculture community in Ohio on this issue, but we've agreed to do research. We've agreed to have dialogue to move forward. I think ultimately there's no way that battery cage systems in this country are going to survive. The public doesn't want it that way, and new housing systems are going to have to be implemented, and many of them are already in practice in Ohio and all across the country.
Jack Fisher, Wayne Pacelli, can you tell me, at the last minute or the night before the governor announced this agreement, apparently the parties left in total disagreement. What was the main bone of contention in the end? What was that all about?
Well, I think both of us looked at all the issues, and a lot of things philosophically we don't agree on. We're trying to find the best way in a democratic society to move to the middle, if you will. Wayne and his folks have a very defined mission and are very committed to that. We in Ohio agriculture and Ohio farmers have a little different philosophy about humane treatment of animals and are very committed to that. But if we can collectively work together and move to the middle, we think we represent all citizens in a much better fashion, use their money wisely that they contribute to us to carry out our organization. And at the end of the day, we hope we have better public policy for everyone. And I think it's important to remember in this agreement process, we are protecting all citizen input. If it's a legislative matter, certainly the opportunity to work with your legislators, to have citizen input and testimony is there on the legislative items. Certainly on the wild animal part, those folks will have every opportunity to submit their comments and participate with the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Ag, and the Governor's Office. No one is to be cut out of the process to have their input and share with us how it impacts them. We have agreed to move forward what we think is a basis for good public policy. It doesn't mean we're not going to listen to everybody along the way.
Okay, we have to take a break, and I have to say goodbye to Jack Fisher, Executive Vice President of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. No relation, right, Jack?
I guess not. And thanks for the opportunity, and Wayne, good to hear from you again.
Same to you, Jack. Thank you.
Thanks again, Jack. We're going to take a break. If you want to join the conversation, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
See the new lineup of public affairs programming on Friday nights from WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record at 8:30. Continuing at 9 is the McLaughlin Group, and at 9:30 PBS presents Need to Know, a new program with an innovative broadcast and web approach to news gathering and reporting. Watch the new public affairs lineup every Friday night beginning at 8 on WOSU-TV.
and you're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides will be here, and we'll hear about the resources and options for the elderly and their families as they require assistance to remain at home or move to a retirement community, assisted living facility, or a nursing home. That discussion begins at 11 right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. On your drive home, catch up on the day's events and business news with All Things Considered and Marketplace on WOSU 89.7 FM weekdays from 4 until 7 o'clock. It's 85 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:41. Sunny skies today and highs in the mid-90s. Clear skies tonight, a low right around 68. Sunny tomorrow and still warm with a high of 95. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining us in the studio, Alan Johnson, Dispatch State House reporter. Alan, thanks again for staying with us today.
I like the way you enunciate now, Ann.
Do
you
I?
Were a print reporter in those days. You could use any language. Now you enunciate very carefully.
I do all my exercises in the morning before I go on the air, too. You just left us, Jack Fisher of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, and we appreciated him being with us. And with us also is Wayne Pacelli. He is the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. Wayne, thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you.
And now joining us, State Senator Jim Hughes. He's with the 16th Ohio Senate District. Senator Hughes, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Ann.
You are the sponsor of Senate Bill 95, which cracks down on puppy mills and still is awaiting a Senate vote. What would Senate Bill, and it's part of the agreement, the governor has said he'll work to get that bill through the legislature and sign it ASAP. What does Senate Bill 95 do exactly?
Senate Bill 95, correctly, as you stated, Ann, does crack down on the bad breeders in the state of Ohio. It limits to 60 dogs in terms of the number you can have a year, or 9 in a litter. And what it does is basically we've had a problem in the state of Ohio that was brought to me by my constituents, in which you had dogs that were stored in crates stacked above, and they never had any access outside, and thus when they defecated and spilled their food and went down on the other dogs as well as in their food and water, it was very inhumane conditions to keep a person's best friend. And one of the issues we're trying to do here is to go after the bad breeders. The good breeders we have no interest in going after, and that's what this bill has done, and it's why it's been voted out of the state local and government committee on a 7-1 vote just a week before we broke for summer on a bipartisan, and is very much supported on both sides of the aisle.
So why is it that Senate President Bill Harris has said to the governor, wait a minute, nobody said anything about getting Senate Bill 95 through. Nobody said anything about puppy mills over here.
Well, I think when you say President Harris has said that, what the issue is, they were dealing with a lot of issues, very important issues before we broke. And I don't think Senator Harris is not against this bill at all. I think what he wants to do is have some time to review this because we've made a lot of changes. This is the third General Assembly I've had this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And while the Senate President and other leaders on both sides of the aisle have been very busy on other issues, this is an important issue, but they've been dealing with other issues. What they need is just a little additional time to get up to speed on the changes we've made. We accepted some amendments in committee the day we voted on. And as you know, being a former State House reporter, and we have one on right now, these amendments do change how people view a bill. So what we're trying to do is to give them the opportunity, and I'm very cautiously optimistic that when we come back that we'll be able to have a vote. And with the governor's help, we'll be able to get this through the Senate as well as in the House.
What is it about the bill that prevented it from getting passed in the last two-year sessions?
I think in the past what we've had is we've had some people that have put some misinformation out because this is, you know, when you have a bill like this, there's a lot of people get scared about this in terms of some of the things we're trying to do because it is new. When we started doing this, attempting to do this three General Assemblies ago, we would have been the first state to do this. Now we have 15 states, roughly, that have enacted puppy law legislation prohibiting the type of practice that we're trying to prohibit in the state of Ohio. We've also, since that point in time, we've gotten a lot more graphic photos showing the deplorable conditions that these dogs are living in to make sure that people understand what we're trying to prohibit here in the state of Ohio. In addition, we've modeled some of our legislation after other bills that have been, you know, parts of it are very similar to Pennsylvania's law and other laws have been enacted that have bipartisan support have passed. And I think that's why we're getting a lot of people that are supportive of this bill. And I think this is why this bill will become law.
I know I should ask Jack Fisher this, but he's gone. So has the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation opposed your bills in the past?
They have not opposed the bill. They were more neutral, the Farm Bureau was. But it's my understanding through this agreement that Mr. Fisher and Mr. Strickland, I wasn't there, but what I've read in reports is that they'll be supportive of getting this passed, which I also will think also will help in some of those areas where some of those legislators maybe had a question mark in the past.
So when do you get back to work on this?
I'd love to do it as soon as we get back. We are scheduled right now to come back in the session right after the election, and I'm very hopeful because I'm doing work on it right now as we speak in terms of talking to legislators, making sure they understand the changes, that I think there's a good chance we might get this voted out maybe the first or second week we're back.
Wayne Pacelli, is this what you're looking for as far as the puppy mill legislation?
Well, we're very pleased with the leadership provided by Senator Hughes, very grateful to him for advancing it, not just in this legislative session, but in prior ones. And I think he's right, you know, with this new dynamic, with the governor's kind of active leadership and sponsorship, and with the agriculture industry helping to push it forward, there are really few people who would reject the idea that we should make a distinction between good breeders and bad breeders. And I think Senator Hughes said it right. I mean, we're talking about some individuals who raise animals in deplorable conditions. It's documented. And what the bill does is just addresses those conditions. If you play by the rules, you can continue to breed. That's a very sensible idea. And I do hope that we can get it done very soon.
Alan Jensen?
Wayne, I have been writing, and perhaps I should just ask you to see if I know what I'm talking about or I'm completely blowing smoke, but it seemed to me that the puppy mills, the cockfighting, and the wild animals were very important additions to this agreement without which you probably wouldn't have gone along. Is that correct?
I think the whole package, Alan, was very important to us. Eight different animal welfare reforms and a pathway ahead. I think the agricultural reforms alone are enormously valuable and important. They're good for animal welfare. I do believe they're very good for the agriculture community, and we both avoid, you know, a costly and divisive fight with an uncertain outcome. But we did a report at the Humane Society of the United States about animal welfare policies in all the states, and Ohio ranked 45th of 50. And it's really been lagging on cockfighting and puppy mills and exotic animals, on its anti-cruelty statute and a number of other issues, including the agriculture issues. So I think, you know, the package, you know, was one package. If you didn't have the ag pieces, it wouldn't have been acceptable. If you didn't have the these other pieces, it would have been, you know, more difficult to embrace. That's why, you know, I really applaud the governor for kind of pulling it all together. And, you know, it's not just that we compromised and that we settled an issue. It's that things that are good for animal welfare and good for the state of Ohio are going to happen as a consequence of this agreement. And that's ultimately the most important test.
Is there legislation to address the cockfighting issue in Ohio, Alan, you know, or Senator Hughes?
It is. There is. It's Wayne Pacelli.
Okay, Wayne.
Maybe the other gentlemen are very familiar with it, but we've been lobbying for this for quite a while. It's HB 108. Mm-hmm. It's already passed the House by an overwhelming margin. It is also in the Senate. So the Senate is the arena of play on both issues, because the House has already given a nod to the puppy mill bill. We'll have to come back with the amendments that Senator Hughes mentioned, but there's already a pretty clear pathway in the House. But the cockfighting issue, Ohio's one of just 11 states that do not treat cockfighting as a felony. There's not a ban on possession of fighting animals, and law enforcement needs these tools in order to crack down on this criminal industry.
Senator Hughes, how do you feel about the cockfighting issue?
Well, first of all, I want to just clarify to make sure we're all on the same page.
Okay.
The puppy mill bill has not passed the House. It's passed the Senate committee. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I mentioned that we are very hopeful we'll get this out in the first week or 2 weeks when we come back, then give the House plenty of opportunity to look at that and to do that. In terms of the cockfighting, I'm already on record for that bill, so that's not an issue to me.
You're on record supporting the bill?
Yes, I am.
Why, in your opinion, you've been in the legislature, what, 10 years now? Or?
Yes, I have.
Why do you think the Ohio General Assembly has taken the time it has to seriously consider this legislation, your puppy mill bill and also the cockfighting legislation?
Well, we've had a lot of very important issues in those 10 years we've dealt with in the first place. However, these are also emotional issues, and emotional issues are sometimes more difficult to get legislation passed through there because everybody naturally has a feeling in terms of this. We also, I think, wanted to make sure we did it right. And that's why I think, as regards to this puppy mill bill that we have right now, we have a very fair and reasonable, balanced approach. And that's why I'm very cautiously optimistic we can get that through. And hopefully the other things, especially with this agreement, because I think that's the final nail that we needed to get this thing through.
614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call. And Jonathan, you're on the air with us right now. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you, Ann. My question comes from another side. I'm wondering whether these puppy mills would exist if there weren't a large demand for puppies. And I'm wondering whether whether the large buyers of puppies, I'm going to avoid using any of their names, the large pet stores, whether they are involved in this and whether they are for this bill.
Well, it's Wayne Pacelli here from the Humane Society of the United States. You're absolutely correct. The reason that puppy mills exist is because consumers are purchasing these animals, you know, either through pet stores where people see a cute little puppy in the window and then make an impulse decision to acquire them, or through an internet site. You know, some of these places are called Almost Heaven Kennels, you know, or other names that sound great. They talk about expansive conditions for the animals. We've gone behind the scenes at HSUS and seen the deplorable conditions in which the animals are kept. We raided 16 puppy mill operations last year with law enforcement and rescued 3,000 dogs from these terrible conditions. So the public has a role in this. It's not just a matter of public policy. Public policy is very important. People, if they want a dog or a cat for that matter, we think should look first to a shelter or a rescue group. They've got fabulous animals. You can go to petfinder.com and find any breed type you want, any animal of any size, and you can get a fabulous companion. You don't need to go to a pet store or an internet site where you don't know how the animals were raised. You don't know their genetic history. So many of the purebreds bred on these puppy mills are inbred and have all sorts of hereditary and genetic problems that shorten their lifespan and give them chronic pain and other problems in their lives.
Well, on that one question, and I'm going to really avoid using this company's name, but is that one company who I'm going to say is probably most responsible for puppy mills in the United States, are they for or against this bill, or do they have no opinion? Does anyone talk to them?
Senator Hughes?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear
Is the big chain pet stores that are known or considered the biggest purchasers of puppy mill puppies at auctions and that kind of a thing, are they for or against your bill?
They have not testified one way or the other. Okay. They did not do that in the Senate.
Jonathan, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. I have an email here from Kelly, and I want to ask it. It was for Jack Fisher, but maybe, Senator Hughes, you can respond to it. She wanted us to ask Jack Fisher what stake the Ohio Farm Bureau has by blocking the dog auction ban in Senate Bill 95, and if they don't oppose it, would they support it? So the dog auctions, she goes on, attract only the highest volume breeders and many out-of-state breeders who have been convicted of abuse and no longer permitted to breed in their state. So what about that component, Senator Hughes?
That would be something better addressed to Jack Fisher. Unfortunately, he's not on the phone because I can't state what their position is on dog auctions, because I've not heard that with my legislation.
Okay. What is your position on dog auctions?
I'm not for them either. I mean, you know, I think they need to be regulated too, but what we're trying to do is do the first step in terms of this. As you know, it's taken a while to get to where we are here.
Yep.
And what I want to do is get something on the books, and we meet a lot down here, so we can always tinker and redefine and make a good bill better as we move through this process.
Wayne Pacelli, what about the dog auction issue? It's a big one in Ohio.
It is. HSUS actually did one of the investigations in recent years that helped to expose the problem. to show that breeding females who are subjected to a lifetime of confinement and they're essentially treated like a breeding machine were kind of discarded by certain puppy mills and then sold at auction to others. And it was a terrible outcome for animals already abused. So we favor the idea of stopping these auctions. And I don't believe that the legislation that Senator Hughes has is going to be a vehicle for that provision. I think he's correct that that would have to be a fight on another day. I know there's a petition circulating on that issue, an initiative petition, but you know, I'm sure that the proponents of that measure would love to see the legislature handle it, but it will be it would have to be handled separate from his bill, it's my understanding.
Senator Hughes, this is a kind of a specific question. The Facebook writer wants to know about large breeds and hunting breeds that often have more than 9 puppies in a litter, and while most of the hobby breeders, the writer knows, don't breed more than once a year, a single litter could put a breeder of, say, Vizslas, Rhodesian Ridgebacks, or Bernese Mountain Dogs over the 9-dog limit. Is that a consideration in your legislation?
For the hunting dogs, actually, we do have – those hunting groups have sent a letter saying they support the bill. You know, in terms of what was going on, that was brought up by a couple of the members of the committee have some concerns from their constituents. So we worked with them to address that issue, and it's my understanding that issue is no longer there because they did not oppose the final version of the bill that passed out through the Senate committee.
Okay. That is just about all the time we have. I want to thank my guest today, Alan Johnson, Dispatch State House reporter. Alan, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. And also Wayne Pacelli, President and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. Wayne, I appreciate you being on the show again.
Thanks, Ann. Good to talk to you, Alan.
And State Senator Jim Hughes of the 16th Ohio Senate District. Senator Hughes, so glad you could join us today.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you for the guests. Enjoyed it.
You bet. That's all the time we have today. If you have any comments you want to post later on Facebook, go to All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. You can do it there. And if you want to get to our website, go to WOSU.org/allsides, and you can find us there. Until the next time, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.